KKIM, AM 1000, Albuquerque. KKIM, FM 94.7, Santa Fe. KARS, AM 860, Berlin. Your home for Christian news and talk.
KKIM and KARS now present New Mexico News and Views, a look at world events that affect the Christian way of life. Now, here's your host, Dewey Modi.
All right, Jimmy, thank you very much. It's Friday, December 2nd, 4:26 in the afternoon. KKIM Cars Radio bringing you the news you need to know. And last night we were talking about strong winds, and tonight we're going to talk about snow, as the weather once again is our top story here. At KKIM and Cars Radio, Heath Hosmussen of nmpolitics.net is our newsmaker of the day. And Heath was just telling me that there's a power outage apparently in Rio Rancho. What's that story, Heath?
Well, I'm actually on PNM's website right now, pnm.com, and they have a map of all the outages in their area right now. It looks like there's one in Deming that affects between 1 and 49 people. There's one in Santa Fe area that does that, and then all over the Albuquerque area they've got power outages. I'm zooming into the map right now. I mean, they have a little code for how many customers affected, and there's a number of little circles that indicate 1 to 49 people without customers without power all over the Albuquerque area. There's a couple dozen of them right now.
And didn't one of your reporter friends say that PNM told him that he would not get power until tomorrow?
Trip Jennings, who is a reporter at the Santa Fe New Mexican, he lives in Rio Rancho, just tweeted that he called PNM and they said he won't have his power back until tomorrow.
At one point yesterday during this program, there were over 5,000 people in the Duke City without power, and so we've still got power outages from yesterday's windstorm, and now with the other storm moving in, we could have more.
Right.
So we'll keep our listeners updated on that. Heath, stay with us, please. We have a winter weather advisory for the Middle Rio Grande Valley. A winter weather advisory remains in effect until 5 p.m. tomorrow evening. Snow accumulations 2 to 4 inches are generally expected through Saturday across the west central highlands to include the Grants and Laguna areas. The Albuquerque and Santa Fe metro areas can expect 1 to 3 inches. Snow will continue at times through early Saturday. No significant winds are expected. Temperatures will be cold enough for snow. A brief period of snow mixed with rain is possible during the initial onset late this afternoon. In fact, we have rain right now falling in the Berlin area and south of Berlin. And into the Los Lunas area, we have snow that is showing up on the radar. We also have snow in the Grants and Gallup area and north east of Santa Fe. We have snow falling right now. We have snow in Edgewood. Pastor Leonard Navarre said that visibility there is a quarter of a mile. We have snow in Farmington, and we also have had plenty of car accidents already, and also on I-40. Let's check traffic right now with Misty Miles.
Here's a look at traffic on KKIM. We still have the four-car collision on northbound 528 past Ellison. The left and right lanes are blocked, so take the center lane to get through there. It's snowing, and we have four collisions, separate collisions, in the East Mountains on eastbound 40 between Cedillo Hill and Edgewood. Only one lane is open at various times. Now, there is a rollover wreck where everybody was taking Old 66, so that's going to be a problem now. It's a rollover on eastbound Route 66 just past Edgewood. We are getting reports of snow and black ice in the East Mountains. That's a look at live and local traffic on New Mexico's Christian Heritage Station, KKIM.
All right, Misty, thank you very much. Also, Torrance County officials said this afternoon that black ice and dangerous conditions have caused them to close I-40 from Klein's Corner to Santa Rosa. Well, workers throw salt and cinders on the road. We have not had an update whether that has reopened or not. Here's the dangerous part of this front that has moved in here is the cold temperatures that are going to hit us, especially on Monday. Get a load of this. On Monday in Albuquerque, the high will be just 27 degrees and the low will be 13 Monday night. In Santa Fe, a high of just 16 on Monday, a low of 3. Frozen pipes come to mind. That's what happened at the Modi Ranch last year when we got that horrible cold weather with those terrific wind chill temperatures. So beware, take preparations right now for the cold that is going to be happening. In Los Alamos on Monday, just 21, a low of 7. Espanola Monday, 23, a low of 3. Berlin and Los Lunas Monday, 28 and 9. In the meantime, we're going to have snow in the entire KKIM listening area through Monday. And when we look at our current temperature now, we're almost at freezing in Albuquerque, 34 degrees. And we've got 1 to 3 inches of snow forecasted. Rio Rancho, 35 degrees. Temperatures are falling. And 1 to 3 inches of snow expected in Rio Rancho. Now, they have gone up now on their snowfall, expected in Santa Fe, 3 to 5 inches of snow. Currently 31 in Santa Fe, 39 in Espanola, 2 to 4 inches of snow. 1 to 2 in Berlin and Las Lunas, 34 currently. Bernalillo, 36 degrees, 2 to 4 inches of snow. Taos, 37, 2 to 4 inches. Raton, 37, 1 to 3. 1 to 3 in Cuesta, 36 degrees. Glorieta, 36 degrees right now, and 3 to 5 inches of snow in Glorieta. 4 to 6 inches of snow expected in Las Vegas, 29 degrees. Abiquiu, 38, 1 to 2 inches. Tijeras, 34, 3 to 5 inches. Chama, 29, 2 to 4 inches. Los Alamos, 32, 1 to 3. Grants, 30, 1 inch of snow expected. Gallup, 32 and 1 inch of snow. Santa Rosa, 30 and 1 to 3. Tier C, 32 degrees, a 70% chance of rain. Edgewood, Moriarty, 29 right now, and 3 to 5 inches of snow expected. Fort Sumner, 32 and a 70% chance of rain. Farmington, 35, 1 to 3 inches of snow. 35 in Alamosa, 1 to 3. Durango, 31, 1 to 2. And Window Rock, Arizona, 1 to 3 inches of snow. So there's a look at our complete weather forecast. Heath Hosmussen is based in Las Cruces. What's the weather like your neck of the woods?
Looks like at the middle school a couple miles from my house, it's 46 degrees right now. It's cloudy outside. I'm looking at the Oregon Mountains right now, and there's some clouds actually sitting on them. It's kind of pretty, actually. But, you know, it's going to get cold here. We have possible snow in the forecast. I think in southern New Mexico they're saying 4,000 feet and above, and Las Cruces is closer to 3,400, 3,500 feet. So, you know, we're close to the zone where we could get some snow, but certainly not nearly as scary as what's going on up there.
All right, Heath, thank you very much, and hang in there. It's 4:33. We will continue here on New Mexico News and Views. And just a reminder, our weather, as usual, is brought to you by Big John. Big John's Barbecue in the parking lot of New Beginnings Church at the intersection of Montgomery and Carlisle. Call 203-1539, 203-1539 to arrange catering. Look for Big John's Barbecue Trailer at Carlisle and Montgomery. The best barbecue in town. Mm-mm, good. And it is good. I speak from personal experience, especially that smoked turkey for Thanksgiving and then smoked turkey soup. Ah! Mm-mm, good. All right, here's Pastor Paul Holt at 4:34.
This is Pastor Paul Holt bringing you the news from a biblical perspective. They have broken out the hazmat suits in L.A. to clean up the garbage and debris left behind by the Occupy protesters, forcibly removed from their squatting sites in the park. I mean, they really had to wear protective gear. But don't think for a moment that the liberal Democrats are safe from the Money for Nothing gang. Occupy protesters in New York lined up to protest President Obama on Wednesday evening as he attended a fundraiser just blocks away from the lighting of the Christmas tree in Rockefeller Plaza. As I've quoted from Romans 1 many times, denying God and his role in our life will darken the heart and corrupt the mind. The Occupy movement is a mob of useful idiots who have little or no understanding of economics or morality. They are a law unto themselves. They are unable to grasp the timeless, biblically based principles found in the Constitution of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Bringing you the news you need to know on KKIM and Cars Radio, I'm Pastor Paul Holt. You can find me on the web at New Mexico. MexicoNewsandViews.com.
A family-friendly New Year's Eve. I'm Audrey Bright. Here's an interesting opportunity. The people behind the movie Courageous are offering you the chance to show it at your church this New Year's. Producer Stephen Kendrick explains.
It's a great event for you to be able to either do an entertainment night or an edifying night for your church family to launch a specific ministry or to do an outreach for unchurched friends in the community.
It's being done through movie event kits. To get one, visit providentfilms.org/courageous. Caring Caring for a disabled family member can be a full-time job. An effort called Jill's House in Virginia gives caregivers a break. A family can drop off a loved one and have an evening away from the routine.
It's amazing the impact that a couple nights a month of respite can have on a family.
Founder Cameron Doolittle says knowing a break is coming changes the whole dynamic of the family. This is Family News in Focus.
The animated movie Arthur Christmas is all about, well, Christmas. But this isn't any old version of the holiday. This is a Santa's tale for the 21st century. Santa and Company is now a high-tech industry with a stealth spaceship for a sled. But for Santa's bumbler of a son, Arthur, it's the little things that still matter the most. This colorfully fun pick embraces the secular ideas of the joy of the holiday. Of course, those looking for the true meaning of Christmas and anything approaching a spiritual emphasis on the birth of the Christ child will be left with a lot of sparkle but a gift box filled with fluff. But keeping that in mind, I'll give Arthur Christmas 4.5 letters to Santa out of 5 for family friendliness. For more on the film, be sure to check out PluggedIn.com. Plugging you into the movies, I'm Bob Olszewski for Focus on the Family's Plugged In Movie Review.
Hi, this is Bobby Jones, Program Director here at KKIM. I want to talk to you about my friends at Southern Boulevard Automotive. That's where I take my cars. Their pledge to you is honesty, integrity, and customer satisfaction. They offer you the Southern Boulevard Automotive Pledge, our peace of mind warranty. Southern Boulevard does major to minor repairs. They also offer you free towing to their location with repairs. They are the oldest AAA-approved auto repair center in Rio Rancho. They also accept extended warranties. My invitation to KKIM listeners is to give them a call to set up an appointment to service your car or truck. Call them today at 892-2300. That's 892-2300. Tell the owner, John Chitwood, that Bobby Jones sent you. Southern Boulevard Automotive Repair, 2300 Southern Boulevard in Rio Rancho. Give them a call, 892-2300. That's 892-2300. KKIM thanks John Chitwood for being a ministry sponsor of KKIM.
This portion of New Mexico News and Views is brought to you by John Chitwood of Southern Boulevard Automotive in Rio Rancho, Joe and Linda Page of Car Pros Auto Sales in Albuquerque, and John Ballou of Ballou Construction and Reward Wall Systems in Santa Fe. We thank them for sponsoring the radio ministry of KKIM, your Christian Heritage radio station for New Mexico.
It's time for the KKIM Community Calendar. The Occupation Prayer Rally is happening Saturday, December 3rd from 10 in the morning till 12 noon. Together in one mind and in one accord, we will engage in a victorious warfare prayer rally. It's going to be at the Friends Meeting House at 1600 5th Street. That's on the corner of 5th and Bellama. For details, call Emmanuel Ministries International at 890-3104.
New Mexico News and Views now continues on KKIM and KARS. Please send us your comments and story ideas by going to mykkim.com.
All right, Jimmy, thank you very much. It's 4:39 on this Friday, this snowy Friday, and it's going to get colder in the KKIM Cars listening area. Heath Hosmussen of nmpolitics.net is with us. Heath, one of the stories we're going to pass along is some good news. It seems that for one day, Santa Fe was burglary-free. No burglaries in Santa Fe yesterday. That's the first time that has happened in a long time in Santa Fe with the rising rate of property crime there in Santa Fe. This one may surprise you folks, but in just a year, Jewish Israelis' opinion of President Barack Obama has turned on its head, according to a new Sabin Center for Middle East Policy poll. A majority, or 54%, now say they have a favorable view of the U.S. president. A year ago, just 41% of those polled viewed Obama as in a favorable light. Back in Israel, Obama appears in the top five world leaders Jews there say they admire most. With 6%, he comes just behind former President George W. Bush and former British Prime Minister Winston Churchill with 7%, and former President Bill Clinton with 10%. Chancellor Angela Merkel of Germany reigns as the favorite with 12%, saying she is the leader outside of Israel they most admire. Overall, the U.S. fares extremely well with Israeli Jews. 80% say they have a favorable view of the country, according to the poll. However, 39% say they are discouraged with the Obama administration's policy in the Mideast, and just 22% told pollsters they feel hopeful. Your thoughts on this new pope, Heath?
Well, there's a lot that's been going on in the Middle East, and this president promised to do things differently than the last president as far as international relations. And, you know, it's, a lot of his policies have actually been the same or similar in that we got involved militarily in Libya. I think people across the world think he does a little bit better job of listening to people who aren't Americans. So, I think that's interesting. The other thing that I've been thinking about with Obama as we're heading into this Republican presidential primary, I think it's kind of interesting. Conservatives tend to care more about things like character. Democrats tend to look more at other issues, liberals. And yet, what's the worst that we've seen from Obama in the character area? That he has a hard time quitting smoking? I mean, it's interesting when you look at his personal life compared to some of the Republican presidential candidates out there and the problems that they've gotten into. I think that's an interesting thing that's been in the media and probably affecting public opinion all over the place right now.
Yes, sir. The battle for the Republican presidential nomination is shaping up to be a showdown between Gingrich and Romney. Mm-hmm. And now you've got Gingrich. You know, he's promised to challenge the president to 7 3-hour Lincoln-Douglas-style debates. In the meantime, right, you've got that organization in Washington that wanted Romney and Gingrich to square off on a Lincoln-style debate. So what do you think about this Romney and Gingrich? Are they going to be the two that are going to fight it out?
It would seem that we're going to lose Herman Cain tomorrow, or there's at least a good chance of it from the race. I think we're getting to the point. Republicans have really been going back and forth between candidates, but we're only a few weeks away. It's kind of late for there to be another candidate to surge at this point. I'm not saying it can't happen, but it's less likely at this point that it will. So we're looking at Gingrich and Romney probably, and it'll be interesting to see how they contrast themselves with each other and then with Obama, whoever wins.
Donald Trump predicting on his Twitter feed that President Barack Obama would start a war in order to win the 2012 election. After calling Iran's threats to Israel unacceptable, Trump tweeted, "In order to get elected, Obama will start a war with Iran." There we go. We haven't heard the last, I guess, from Donald Trump.
I don't think we have.
The 8.6 unemployment rate is out. Yeah. The November jobs report contains some good news for President Obama. You know, the interesting thing about this, that it may not be enough to save the president's job. Just consider this stat. No president since Franklin D. Roosevelt has won re-election with an unemployment rate over 7.2%. Your thoughts?
Right. You know, that's a very long, true statistic. On the flip side, there's still a lot of people I hear, Republicans, telling me they're not satisfied with their candidates, with their choices. That's one of the reasons that they've gone back and forth between them. I mean, I was looking today at a Washington Post article from June when Gingrich, his whole staff quit, that said his campaign was dead, and he's back. And so there's been a lot of soul-searching and moving around in the Republican primary, and I still hear from a number of Republican political analysts who don't want to say it publicly, but say quietly they think that 2012 is going to be a good year for Democrats. So Obama could break that trend and put an end to that 7.2% statistic. He may not, but it wouldn't surprise me if he does.
All right, Heath, let's get to the meat and potatoes here. This is something that does not surprise me. We've been on this story and following the Richardson administration. The New York Times has some new details on the federal investigation into allegations that former Governor Bill Richardson, and I'm reading a story you have posted at nmpolitics.net, that had supporters pay off a woman during his 2008 presidential campaign to keep quiet about their alleged affair. Tell us about the story you have posted on your webpage.
Well, we first learned about this publicly from the Albuquerque Journal a couple weeks ago. Yesterday, the Wall Street Journal had new details. Today, the New York Times had new details. The bottom line is, the allegation is that he had supporters raise $250,000 to pay off this woman. The Wall Street Journal characterized it as to keep quiet about an extramarital affair, but the New York Times took it a step further and said it was a sexual harassment claim that she felt pressured into a sexual relationship with Richardson while he was governor. So it involves, I mean, this is a pretty outrageous story if it's true. We're talking about $250,000 that was raised secretly from people close to Richardson, and then that the money was believed to have been wired to the woman's lawyer from a bank in Mexico, which I think we're talking about potentially, if the feds can prove this case, and if it's true, you have to ask, is there potential money laundering here?
Yeah.
If the money was raised from people close to Richardson, it's reasonable to expect that some or all of it was raised in the United States, and then at some point taken into Mexico. Was that reported? I mean, you can't just take $250,000 across the border and, I mean, who moneyed the wire back? Who wired the money back? There's a lot of questions. There's things we don't know, but it's a pretty outrageous situation.
Now, Heath, what I got to say here, this does not surprise me. It saddens
right.
me, and the truth is coming out about Bill Richardson. He's nothing but a mess as a person, and, you know, this stuff is going to keep coming out about him. I just think this is the tip of the iceberg. The guy is a crook.
Well, we've certainly heard rumors for his entire gubernatorial tenure of situations with women, and I don't think you can run for president without something like that coming out, and he did run for president without something like it coming out, but, you know, he didn't become a serious enough candidate to really get the scrutiny from the national media that someone like Herman Cain gets. So,
why do you think this story's not all over the networks and on the network TV, and it's being blasted away like John Edwards? Why is this thing not really getting talked about much?
Well, John Edwards was, you know, the vice presidential nominee at one point. He was a presidential candidate who actually had a chance of winning. Richardson was a governor of a small state who ran for president and didn't get any traction. So it's a, you know, as far as national interest, it's not as big a story. I would have to concede that to the national media. I still think it's a very fascinating story nationally, and even more fascinating is the possibility, and Richardson hasn't been charged with anything, but, you know, it's the possibility that two Democratic presidential candidates at the same time were orchestrating, or were having orchestrated for them, however it turns out, the paying off of women they were having relationships with to keep them quiet.
You're talking about Edwards and Richardson, yeah.
Edwards and Richardson.
Yeah.
If that was happening with two of the presidential candidates at the same time, you know, what does that say about our politics?
Yeah, and then you got this thing going on with Herman Cain. It makes me want to barf up my breakfast, I'm telling
mm-hmm.
you. Now, here's the other story. We've got a poll at mykkim.com. The question is, are you disappointed in Governor Martinez's pushing for the Downs at Albuquerque casino deal? 55% yes, 20% no, undecided 25%. You know, this deal stinks. She pushed it through. She accused the Richardson administration of, you know, doing some, you know, not good stuff. At the same time, she took a huge donation and then pushed this thing through. We saw Tom Tinnen resign from the board he was on over this. He's a very reputable man. Your take on this story?
Well, I think the criticism has been widespread and bipartisan, and their response has been, we put it out for bids, and Richardson didn't even want to do that. Tom Cole with the Albuquerque Journal had a great response to that, which is that if you're setting the ethical bar based on the Richardson administration, you're setting it way too low. In other
yeah.
words, saying we're better than Richardson isn't good enough.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing that really, the point of which it really got to me is when you set a meeting for 2 weeks ago or whatever it was, a week and a half ago, tell the public, advertise it as a meeting to discuss but not to vote. Because at the previous meeting, you didn't have the votes to pass it, so you tabled it. You bring it back, you say, we're just going to discuss it at this meeting, and then we'll vote on it in December. And then you change things in the middle of the meeting that's only supposed to be about discussion and vote and pass it. So, you know, fewer members of the public who might be interested in it went to the meeting, I'm sure, because it wasn't going to be voted on anyway, and we're planning to go to the meeting in December, and suddenly it's a done deal. You know, that's the point at which you say, you know, we've seen this before. Things get rushed through for a reason. Not every single time is it a shady reason, but any time it happens, there's reason to suspect that something shady is going on.
Yeah. Heath, I want you to invite our listeners to visit your website. Talk to them about that, please.
Well, thank you. It's NM or NewMexicoPolitics.net. I've been running the site for about almost 6 years. It's journalistic and nonpartisan, so it's not like some blogs out there that are more just partisan type commentary. I do news reporting on there. I do some commentary. I have a number of other people who write commentaries. So we cover state politics, some local politics in southern New Mexico, federal politics from a state from New Mexico perspective.
And you're award winning too.
Well, there's information on the site about it, but you know, I've had journalists at the Washington Post, yep, and Politico in Washington, yep, say good things about the site. So yeah, I'm glad people like it.
We really appreciate you because you bring a different perspective here to New Mexico News and Views, and we really appreciate your insight, Heath.
Well, thanks. I'm happy to do it.
All right. God bless you and your family, and Merry Christmas to you. And I hope that we can get you on the air before Christmas. All right.
I'd be happy to do it. Merry Christmas to you too.
All right, Heath. God bless you, man.